everybody, and welcome to another episode of Career Club Live. I'm Bob Goodwin, the CEO of Career Club, and we're coming to you today, believe it or not, from Oslo, Norway. I'll see my daughter, so it's fun to be here, and this is the beauty of technology. Today's episode is sponsored by what we call Next Placement, Career Club Next Placement, which is our answer to outplacement, where we focus on what's next, not just who's out. So if you're an HR professional and you're looking for someone to be an extension of your HR department who's going to take a more people-centric, empathetic approach to helping transition employees, we'd love for you to give us a call and learn a little bit more about Next Placement. This episode is also being found on YouTube. So if you happen to be watching us on YouTube, please like, comment, and subscribe so you don't miss another episode. We're coming out pretty much every week with a new episode, so we would love to have you join us. So with that, I'm going to just read a little bit of an introduction about our guest. It's not the shortest one, but that's because her credentials are pretty amazing. So our guest today is Jodi Thompson. Jodi is the founding principal of Culture RX, headquartered in Minneapolis. Jodi's an engaging domestic and international keynote presenter on the future workplace. It's been featured on the covers of Business Week, Workforce Management Magazine, HR Magazine, HR Executive, as well as featured in the New York Times, Time Magazine, USA Today, Good Morning America, CNBC, MSNBC, CNN, and The New Yorker. We're really happy that she gets me on Career Club to be the cherry on top with all that. She's also co-authored two best-selling books on the modern workplace and contemporary management principles with titles that resonate with me, Why Work Sucks and How to Fix It, and Why Management Sucks and How to Fix It. Jodi works with select organizations to bring them to a state of sustainable high performance. For the past 15 years, she's personally facilitated the change management communication training process in organizations across multiple industries with a variety of roles, including retail, manufacturing, government, professional services, education in both private and public sectors. So with that, I'm going to take a breath and say welcome, Jodi Thompson.
Hey, Bob. Hey, thanks for that introduction. Wow, it's kind of like I'm a rock star.
You are a rock star. So it's great, great to have you.
Thank you.
To help listeners just get to know our rock star guest a little bit best, as our want is, we've got a handful of icebreaker questions. So first one's pretty easy. Where were you born and raised?
So I was born and raised in the Twin Cities. I'm in Minneapolis right now, but grew up in St. Paul. So I've been here all my life.
Right across the river. And then where'd you go to school?
I went to school at the University of Minnesota. Yay.
And what's that? Carlson? Is that the business school? Carlson School?
Yes, absolutely. Golden Gophers. That's us.
And then a little bit about your family.
So I have two sons and three cats, and I'm married and living on a lake. So that's me.
Minnesota, I would assume that you're on a lake. That's kind of the thing there.
Yeah, 10,000 lakes, 10,000 of them.
Yeah, something like that. Tell us just a little bit, because we're going to get into this results-oriented work environment in a minute, but tell us a little about your career arc and how it landed you where you are.
You know, Bob, I've done a lot of different things in my career, trying to figure out, like, what is that thing that's going to give me passion and make me excited all the time? And I actually have a degree from the University of Minnesota in physical education, believe it or not. So did that for a while, trained aerobic instructors, you know, nationwide, done a lot of teaching in that arena. And then a few years ago when I was at Best Buy, I was working in the change management department and I found this path and this way of thinking and this mindset that for the last about 20 years, it's been my passion.
Yeah. So that's cool. And then we're going to go way deep into this. But before we get there, just super quick. When you're not doing all this change management stuff, where do we find you? What are you out doing?
So for 3 months of the year, I'm in a pontoon. And then the rest of the time, I'm shoveling snow. So that's what I do.
That sounds like the life of a Minnesotan. So let's just to help get listeners grounded. And before I forget, I want to say thank you to Julie Balke, who got us introduced. And she says, I've got a phenomenal guest for you. Jodi's amazing. And she talks about ROWE, results-oriented work environment. Can you just kind of just lay a little bit of groundwork for folks so they can kind of catch up to where we are?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, it's the results-only work environment.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But don't worry about that, because when we first started out, we called it oriented. And then we realized that there's so much about work culture that's so fundamentally broken that we changed it to only, because oriented means sort of, right? Yeah. But only means really only. Results. So that's why we changed the name many years ago. What it is it's a very different kind of platform for how you think about work. Every single person is 100% accountable. And what that means is they have the measurable results they need to get their job done. They know what that is. They're very clear. The other side of it is backed by social science, and that is 100% autonomy for every single role. So just for your audience, flexibility is not autonomy. Flexibility is a policy that still directs when and where people work. So if you're doing the hybrid 2 days in, 3 days out, whatever that looks like, mm-hmm. that's flexibility. But autonomy is each person is self-driven. They manage themselves, and they're also equally accountable. So when we talk about the results-only work environment, there's lots of things, Bob, and I know we're going to go over this. It's yeah, but this, yeah, but that, yeah, but this, yeah, but that, right? And we'll cover some of that. But in a nutshell, results-only work environment is autonomy and accountability for every single person.
What was the genesis of it? Like, what was this born from? What was the problem that you saw or the situation that like, yeah, whatever we're doing these days isn't working and a different model is called for?
So back in 2004, when I was at Best Buy, mm-hmm. A colleague and I were working on sort of that idea that how do we create an environment where people feel like they have balance? Because that was a big thing 20 years ago. Yeah. Everybody talked about work-life balance. And what we realized is that every organization was doing the same thing. They were giving some people flexibility. But as people talked about that, they were saying, well, that doesn't really give us work-life balance, because if I get Friday off and all of a sudden on Tuesday, my tooth falls out, I'm in an inflexible situation. Mm-hmm. So as we talked to a lot of people and really sat down and thought about it through all the benchmarking out, we weren't going to think outside the box, no box. What is it that people really want? And we learned from Robert Karasek in 1979, he talked about psychological stress in the workplace and that what people really want is autonomy. It's autonomy. And we hear that from Dan Pink as well, autonomy, mastery, and purpose. But people aren't able to do that because management says, I control your time and location. You ask me permission, right, to leave early, come in late, whatever that looks like. So we stepped back and we thought, well, how can we raise the level of autonomy for people and make sure that they understand what their work is? So we started experimenting, social experiment with teams. And what we did at first is we said to managers, you will no longer be giving permission for people to work different than 8 to 5. Mm-hmm. And that was huge. Like you would think, oh, it's not a problem. But 20 years ago, it was very difficult to do. So we started to build the results-only work environment around the idea that we're adults. And if you're clear with what people need to do and how to measure it, then you don't have to be a permission granter. You can mm-hmm. be a performance guider. That's your role. Guide performance. So manage the work, not the people. And we built it from there. And really, it was so interesting, Bob, because how people responded to it was amazing. Like they were more engaged. They did better work. They stuck to the organization. Yeah. They had better conversations with each other. So all of that stuff is what told us that we can refine this further and go further and take it out to other organizations.
So again, because I think what you're talking about is just so fundamentally different than how the vast, vast, vast majority of organizations operate. And all we have to do is read the headlines in the newspapers, you know, coming out of the pandemic that, yeah, we liked what we were doing before. We want to go back to the old model. Right.
Right.
And can you talk about, you know, this is cliche, I think, at this point, but, you know, the trends were already underway. The pandemic kind of accelerated things, and things that would have taken 5 years happened in 5 months, or, you know, whatever math you want to use, but just say that everything got microwaved and just happened a whole lot faster. Can you talk about why this row environment is more important than it's ever been?
So, Bob, right now, when I watch what's happening across the globe with work, I am very frustrated and feel sad, because before the pandemic hit and when we were just getting into it in 2019, I said, mark my words, when this is over, the managers and the leaders are going to try to get everybody back in the office. And it happened, because we believe that people are more collaborative in the office. You know, they build better relationships in the office. There's all these beliefs that people have. And what's happening now across the globe is we're still controlling people. Yeah. We're building a policy-based hybrid environment. So everybody's saying, oh, that's the future. Look, we're letting people work from home. I'm sorry. Working from home is not a new idea. It's not innovative. It's not forward-thinking. It's the same thing. It's like Einstein said, you know, keep doing the same thing over and over and over again is insanity. It's exactly what we're doing. We're building an average experience for people, and it's not optimized. I don't know if you've ever heard of Todd Rose's The Myth of the Average. I think that your audience will get like this. So in The Myth of the Average, back in World War II, they were building fighter jets. And they were trying to figure out where to put the cockpit seat. So they got a whole bunch of guys and they measured their arm length and their leg length and their girth and their shoulders, everything. And they took all those and they made an average and they put the seat in the average position. So for your audience, do you think anybody fit in that seat?
Nope. No,
it was average. Nobody fit in it. So if you think about that, you've sub-optimized every single person that sits in the cockpit. Now, today we can move our seats right in our cars. That's where that came from. But what we do in workplaces is we put an average experience together for people. 3 days in, 2 days, you know, this, that, all FlexiFlex program, all the flex programs. And it doesn't fit anybody, because we're human beings and we have lives and we have all these different things going on. And so if we create an environment where people are accountable for measurable results and they're autonomous, every single day they're moving their seat. They're moving it so they get to the best way that they can be productive and efficient and effective. And that's the future. Hybrid workplaces that are policy driven are taking us right back to the past.
So just to get, I mean, I'm just so afraid of skipping past such a fundamental thing here, which is it doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter when you work. It matters about the results. So there is a clearly communicated expectation. There is a timeline or a deadline, however you want to think about that. So this is the work product that I'm expecting from you by such and such a date. You do it at 2 a.m, 2 p.m. You do it while you're in the store. You do it in your underwear. I really don't care. But this is the work product, and it's due at such and such a time. Is that the gist of it?
It is. You know, in a results-only work environment, people are very clear about their communication. And because the whole team understands what they're supposed to be doing, they actually work better together. So when I do workshops, I'll ask the room. Let's say there's 35 people in the room. How many of you are crystal clear about the measurable results you need to achieve for your role? I get a quarter of the people raising their hands, and three quarters of the people are like, I don't know. So that's one of the reasons we want people back in the office, because when you're in the office, you look like you're working. You have the cues of going to meetings and sitting in your cube and talking about how busy you are and all that kind of stuff. So the idea is that if everybody's crystal clear and they know that basically no results, no job, right? You have to do your work, but we're really clear about what it is. I need this by this date at this time. The whole team communicates that way. The whole company communicates that way. So what it does is it allows us to actually do better work because we're clear about what we're supposed to do. Yep. And because we are in control of our time, we're more engaged. We're more motivated, Dan Pink says, if we have that autonomy. So it's really the perfect formula to drive the type of business that you want to have that's going to be successful and keep the talent and get the talent. We have a company up in Canada. The number one reason for the past 3 years that people have gone to them to work is because of the results-only work environment. Number one reason. So it's a talent magnet, but it's not a talent magnet because we're letting people work from another. We're not allowing anybody. You make the choice. You're an adult, and there's no label on you. Stop labeling people as teleworkers or whatever.
So a couple things. There's two things I want to double click on here for a second.
All right.
One is, you know, kind of abandoning this permission-based model that you're talking about. Because the flip side of all of that is what you said at the beginning, and I'm just repeating you, is accountability, right? So, but what, we're just giving away control of everything and It's like, no, like we're treating people like adults, but treating people like adults also means you need to behave like an adult.
Correct. And,
right. So if you're missing quality, you know, so the work product was not great. It's late. It's over budget. You didn't work with the other teams who need to have visibility into your work product. I mean, you're accountable for all those things. So it can also get, I would think, pretty Darwinian at some point.
Well,
in that people self-select, basically.
Yes, because what's happening in workplaces is, even though we think people are working all day long, they're not. Number one, they don't know exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They're doing a bunch of activities. It's not connected to an outcome or a purpose or anything.
Yep.
And so what happens when people get crystal clear is they have the opportunity to either step up to the plate because they can't fly under the radar anymore. You can't just put in your time. That's the old currency of work, time plus presence. So people might say, and this is a very few people, might say, well, I don't want to work like this because I actually have to be, you know, accountable. Rather than just say, well, I put in my time this week.
Right.
So people can self-select out of this, but results-only work environment shines a big light on performance. So when you get into this environment and go through the training, managers talk to you all the time about the results of the work, not about, well, you weren't here last week. Well, how come you didn't, you know, do this or that? They talk about performance, period.
So I'm the accidental row employer because with our team, you know, there's young moms, there's single guys, there's different folks at different life stages, different life needs. And you know, if I'm being transparent, that like I grew up in the time and presence model, right?
Me too.
That's what I understand. And it's like, and particularly when you're writing the checks, like I want to know you're freaking at work and that you're at work.
Right.
You're doing something or you're doing it well or doing it on I want to know where you are. And it's like, why? So because I really love my team, they're very talented and I don't want to lose them. They have requests and we've kind of just done away with, you don't need to ask my permission model, but the feedback has been extremely clear that I've got the autonomy, the freedom to be able to decide when and where I do my work. But to your point, now I just want to, for anybody who's listening to this, this is my personal experience before I ever knew Jody, is our meetings are all about like this work product. Last week we said this was going to be done. You know, this one's in flight. You know, where are we with this work product? Where are we with this work product? And it's just stuff is getting done faster and better.
Right.
And not in theory, in reality, with people, air quote, logging fewer hours.
Right. Who cares?
But that's what I'm saying. And I want to say this to our audience. I'm learning to not care about the currency that I thought was the currency because it's not. The other thing that I just wanted to go back to, and I had made some notes coming into this conversation. You just touched on it a couple minutes ago, which is when you're doing a workshop and how many people know, like, you know, what your contribution is, and only, you know, 25% rate. That's almost exactly what we see with Career Club clients who are in career transition.
Right.
And in the phase that we would call personal branding, which would include things like your resume, your LinkedIn profile, your tell me about yourself kinds of things, but how you communicate your value.
Yes.
You know, it's like, tell me what you have done. I want to know about your accomplishments, not your scope of responsibility. And this is crass, but it's true, is when people just have their responsibilities on there, it maybe sheds a little light on scope. Like, you know, I had 100 people, 10 people, one person, but people get fired for not doing their responsibilities. Every day, people are getting fired. So you haven't really told me what you do. You've told me what you're responsible for. And I think it's very sad that people are unable to articulate their contribution to the business. And we kind of, I would love your take on this. We boil it down to sort of three things. Did it help the company make money, save money, or mitigate risk?
Right.
Because if you can't distill it, I don't know what else there is, but those are sort of the value buckets. It's like, well, what other, so what's your take on did it help make money, save money, or mitigate risk?
So I agree with that. I think I'm going to go down two paths with you right now.
Please.
One is when people are looking at their career and how they want to, like you say, brand themselves and talk about, you know, what they've done or what they do inside an organization. What I'm learning is that we have a mismatch right now. So we have good candidates coming into a bad culture. And what happens to people is they get more and more disgusted with how their career is going. Over time, not everybody, because the culture of work gives them a lot of psychological distress. And it's that whole control thing again. I'm an adult. I do great work. Get clear with me. This is what I'm good at. I can take it across the line. Yep. But if you're going to say, but you know, I understand, Jody, you're really productive every day, but really, we really need to see you in the office on Wednesdays. You know, that's the kind of stuff that no matter what your career is, you're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also learned, which is very, I find this interesting, is that a lot of times what we want to do is we want to climb the ladder and make more money. And that's fine. It, you know, that's a good thing. But in the results-only work environment, people are passing up promotions and they're not getting poached for a lot more money because they're fulfillment of their career and their lives is happening. And they know if they take $40,000 more and go over to a company that is not working in autonomy and accountability, they'll be miserable because there's so many roadblocks for them in terms of their career that they get too frustrated and then they start looking for a job again.
Yep.
So I love that we're having this conversation because I, you know, we, as far as we know, we have one life, right? Let's do the best we can. Let's be with our family. Let's have friends. Let's get our work done.
Yeah.
But we are not, organizations have to flip from, I'm not paying you for time. I'm not paying you for 40 hours. I'm paying you to get a job done. And so if you do it in less, first of all, how do you even know you did? Like, let's just get the time clock out of our brain all the way together. Let's just get rid of it. People know when they feel overwhelmed. But a lot of the times it's because of the work environment. If we can get people free to work in a way that's equitable for everybody, then we really know what our capacity is.
Yep.
Right now, we're not up to capacity in any organization. And what companies do is they hire people if they think they don't have enough capacity, and they throw more people into a situation of, and you can see it, I can see it on your face, where they're not productive. They're not as productive as they can be. They don't know what they're supposed to do. I'm unclear. What is the organization about? We got 5,000 people. I don't know what to do. So we have to take a step back and look at social science and say, what is that we're doing today that is undermining what we're really trying to do? And how do we fix that?